Our passion didn't start with a mouth. It started with people, with the well-being of the profession. And if you're like me, maybe a little bit of your nerdiness in all things tech too. We all want to love what we do, but the truth is burnout, people problems, and glass ceilings can keep us from doing what we set out to do. So let's get back to the heart of connection. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. This show is about passing you the knowledge, the habits, the systems, and the strategies to lead your teams, lean on your tech, and listen to your gut while you take care of people and truly the overall health of our communities. Let's stop using the wrong end of the toothbrush, y'all. My name is Dr. Kelly Tanner. Oh, and uniquely, I'm a dental hygienist too. You can consider me a guru in the dental and leadership industry. With over 3 decades of experience, my goal is to take you to the next level by empowering growth, perspective, and confidence. By identifying the gaps, recognizing the plaque, and extracting the truth with the other experts in the field. I'll share their stories, empower you to own yours, and elevate your passion in the process. So have a seat in the chair, put on your bib, and let's get to work. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. I'm Dr. Kelly Tanner, and welcome to our special edition, special series of Dental Insights, your trusted practice mentors, a podcast where two dental experts, Dr. Kelly Tanner and
Erica Flateau,
are talking about all the things that are important to you. And today we're talking about going from Lone Star to shared success. Mm-hmm. What happens when you go out to the waiting room and the person says, I thought I was seeing Erica today.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not Erica. I mean, how does that make you feel?
Yeah. Well, it used to, when I was a baby hygienist, as you call them, I used to get all, like, first of all, feel maybe inadequate because they wanted to see this other person. By the way, I'm assuming in this scenario, they never even met me, you know, and then also just wanting to please the patient and being so worried that they're disappointed and we're starting off on the wrong foot. But at this point, I can diffuse that situation in like 10 seconds. And especially, say they're expecting to see Kelly today.
Yeah.
And Kelly's here, but she's with someone else. But so then the patient sometimes can almost even take that, like, because they have this relationship with this hygienist and that they maybe even picked that other patient over them, which is not the case. It just got scheduled that way. Yeah.
Yeah. They get really upset and hurt. If you can sense the hurt.
That's their girl. It's like, wait a minute, we were going to talk about, you know, the camping trip, you know, but now I have to see you. So just being really confident in my skills and knowing I'm going to do a great job for them, knowing I have great notes from Kelly from her previous appointments with them. If they say, oh, I thought I was going to see Kelly today, I say, oh, well, you know what? I'm not sure how you ended up in my schedule, but I'm going to take great care of you today. I'm so excited to meet you. And, you know, you're welcome to schedule with Kelly next time. No problem. But today we really didn't want to cancel your cleaning appointment. You're scheduled with me. It could be because there was some rescheduling if someone was sick or who knows, but you're in my schedule today and I'm going to take great care of you. And what are they going to do? Cancel and walk out? I mean, they don't want to have to do that. They're already there. They've taken their time to be there. And they can even be a little slow walking back to the room and they're kind of looking at the other hygienists. I'm like, where is she?
They're still looking for you. They're still.
They're a little bit just disgruntled. They're reluctantly hanging their purse up, you know. But I'm telling you, 5 minutes in the chair, you know, and giving them a little extra TLC, like, is the chair comfortable for you today? Do you want a blanket? Are you a little bit cold? Like, how's things feeling? Maybe not overdoing it, but just being extra nice because they're not feeling comfortable, whether they're afraid or whatever their deal is. And then they, by 5-10 minutes into the appointment, they are fine. And then I'll tell you what's the hilarious part is 50-60% of them at the end of the appointment, I go, okay, let's go ahead and get you scheduled with Kelly next time. That's no problem. We'll get you. Oh, I can see either one of you. It's like they're, and so they just had to be shown that it's okay. And then for Kelly and I as a team in a hygiene department, how great that we can say one of us isn't there, we're on vacation or something. There's going to be our patients that want to go back with Kelly and stick with Kelly. But if we can flip flop a little bit like that and see each other's patients here and there, it's just great for those situations. Say Kelly is going to be out for 3 months because she's having surgery or something. You know, it's a nice opportunity for not only the patients to understand that we're both capable of taking care of them, but also a new set of eyes seeing that patient that day is never a bad thing. So
yeah, I agree with that. And I've had all of that happen. And Erica too, I have had it to where the patient has rescheduled and said,
really?
Yeah. And this is when I'm consulting and coming into a practice and the other person, we've done all these things, but sometimes that person for their own personal reasons has said, I really wanted to see them. I trust them. And we've said all the things to the patient to make it right. And they just still choose to reschedule, which, you know, I give them that power and say,
of course,
I, you know, I completely respect your decision. Let me see when her next opening is. And sometimes you get to that point, it's like, it's going to be 6 more months or whatever, especially.
Okay, fine. Then I'll just see you.
Yeah, but they
usually 6 months for me. No,
and it is nice too when you know other people's schedules ahead of time. Like if someone's going away or they have vacation time, that when you're looking at that schedule to say, "Oh, okay, Erica's not going to be here. Then she's on vacation. She comes back on this day. I know that she'll be looking forward to seeing you too. What time on Mondays are best for you?"
Mm-hmm. Well, and also too, if the hygienist that I'm currently working with, if we are scheduling with the other one because there just isn't something in our schedule at that time, I hear her all the time. Erica's got Wednesday at you know, 1 o'clock available. And so they hear that. So it's not, shouldn't be, I mean, sometimes they hear what they want to hear, but it shouldn't be a surprise that that they're coming in because she's made sure to say, I'm not scheduling you with me next time. Yeah. I haven't run into that where the person has actually rescheduled, but of course that would be respected and that's their time and they can go and come back. But what if you are in a practice where the patient doesn't want to see the other hygienist because of an issue with they hurt me once or like they were too rough or, and they are saying this to you as in, and your students are going to run into this. They're saying this to you. How do you best handle that? Because they do say stuff about our coworkers to us.
And they do.
Yeah. So how do you handle that, Kelly?
To the patient?
Yeah.
Okay. I say, was it a particular area that it was sensitive? I'm trying to figure out when was it air? Do you remember? Do you remember if you had bleeding? Do you remember what they said last time that was along with that? And then I'll look in the chart notes and I'll see if I can correlate something to vet so they feel validated. Right. And
but you didn't put personal blame on the hygienist.
How
what did they do? How did they hurt you? No, your words were, where was it sensitive? That's a perfect way to answer that question.
Yes. And I've consulted also in practices too, I'm sure you have too, where there are hygienists who feel different when they do when they deliver their preventive care. And some are quote more heavy handed. Now there've been certain instances where there've been hygienists where we had to really go back and do some remediation. Okay. Mm-hmm. With their skills. And you know what? I think there's no shame to be delivered in that statement at all. But when you see that you can help someone and you can show them a different angle, perhaps they didn't know about an instrument that they can use to access a different area. You know, that was my role at that time as that coach, as that hygiene mentor and that coach and that practice. But even talking in the lunchroom chat about the instruments, like, hey, what do you use in this situation? Sometimes that's a good way to mentor another person too, of, you know what I just found out? That I use XYZ, and that just that makes all the difference in those areas that are really narrow, whatever the situation is. So use it as an opportunity to lift up that other person.
Sure. And that's where that not being the shining star that you know all the patients want to see, or that the doctor really looks to, like, this is our really great hygienist or dental assistant here. But then learning how to share your success with the people in your department, because everybody's bringing something different to the department. There can be the veteran that's been there for 30 years. There can be the new one that's right out of school that's got way updated information. And then there can be kind of the person that, you know, has a different background, and maybe they speak a foreign language and they can bring something to the practice that way. But really celebrating everybody's thing that they're contributing and not having the need to be the one that's shining. And I think that's probably just, you know, experience and maturity in the profession, but we want that gold star coming out of school so badly, you know, and I think that, and I don't want to say school's competitive that way, but you are struggling to be successful and do well on your procedures in school and you seek approval. And so then getting out and understanding that it's not a competitive thing in departments, but to help and lift each other up. And the way that you just explained, like over a lunch break, you know, having conversations that might really give someone a lift that doesn't understand that there's a way, you know, better treat their patients. And this could be for associates and doctors too, because you get an associate in there, three different doctors working, and the patients will do the same thing with those doctors. Yes.
Yep. Because yeah. I'm thinking too that we're all, well, most of us as hygienists are a certain type of individual, and we strive for excellence. Doctors do too. I'm just speaking about our own profession.
Yes.
But we strive for excellence, and it's our way, and this is the way it's always worked sometimes, and you know, all the things. But I think that, and I think where there's opportunity for growth in any practice is when you extend the hand, you say, let's grow together. Mm-hmm. And even I'm going to tell you that even Erica, in those instances where they've said that about the other hygienist, I will tell the other hygienist, hey, Mrs. So-and-so said last time, I see that you use this. I just wanted to let you know, in a way that's loving. Right. And I did you encounter anything that was different than her? And this is just a growth opportunity for them. And it's going to, of course, depend on my relationship with that person as well, because if a person said that I hurt them, Erica, I would want to know, I would want you to tell me. And so I feel like that on the other side of it, it's the right thing for me to do as their colleague to just tell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and and it's not a place of judgment at all. It's because people are going to do things differently than we do, and learning from them and them learning from us is wonderful. But the patients will, like, you know, even if they do request to be scheduled, or if they want a different doctor, they saw this doctor and they really like this doctor better. Learning how to, if you find out that information about this particular patient, you can ask why, just because, you know, just for curiosity's sake and learning maybe what happened, but to not take it personally and understand that not everybody is everybody's cup of tea, and it could even be a personality issue. And I'm, you know, kind of like a reformed people pleaser. And I would just take that so personally if someone wanted to see the other hygienist over me, and just realizing that and letting it go, and just realizing that, hey, it's all good. And then for the one that does that, there's nine that would love to see you. So, and for our new associate doctors coming out, I mean, your hygienist is going to be your touchstone for the practice as you introduce this new person in. So you've got a doctor that's either been the owner or someone that's been there forever and ever, and you bring in this new doctor, and the hygienist is, you know, someone that the patient really trusts because they're a very consistent person that they see. They spend the most time with the hygienist, and the hygienist can say, hey, we've got Dr. Tanner here today. We're really trying to welcome her into the practice, and I would really like for her to do your exam today. I didn't ask. I just said, I would really like, because if I say, can she do your exam? The answer is going to be, no, I'd really rather see. So it's like, we're really trying to welcome her into the practice.
I
would love for you to meet her. And then if they hesitate at all and go, And you can definitely see, you know, Dr. Brown again next time, but today, would you please help me welcome her?
Yeah.
They always say yes, because, and they have an out, because they know that next time they can, you know, see the other doctor if they want. Mm-hmm. They're not now committed to this new doctor because they've met. And again, almost always they're like, oh, she was really nice. I wouldn't mind seeing her again. That was great. Yeah. You know, maybe the 10% will be like, nope, you know, I have to stay. It's like surprise 10%. Dr. Brown is going to retire at some point. You might want to get to know this person. Your hygienist is your the greatest asset in this transition of any transition into practice, you know, a sale or an associate coming on, anything like that. They really can, if they use the right words, because the patients know them and trust them.
Yeah. Two different points that I was thinking of is, and remind me of this, so I come back to it, but the front office confirming appointments of who it is with the provider. I think that that's one way to not surprise the patient, to mitigate a lot of this.
Great point.
The patients don't like surprise. None of us like surprises when we're in to see a different doctor. You know, if we're in for a procedure to see a different doctor, we're like, where's that doctor today? Why didn't they do that? Yeah. So the front with that, but then also too, I was sitting here thinking about the instances as a person on the other end of it, whether, and it's not a dentist, but if I was taking my dog to the vet, if I was seeing a different nurse practitioner, something like that, that it gives the patient more choices, that they are able to adapt differently and see what the whole practice is really about. Because at the end of the day, they're there at the practice. They will see the dentist. They will have that examination. So do they trust that dentist to make the decision on who they hire and only hire the quality people?
Yeah. And as the hygienist, that's a good point. I've also said that, you know, Dr. Brown handpicked Dr. Tanner, and, you know, she's here and we're so excited. It's just been a wonderful addition to the practice. Can you please help me welcome her? I'd love for you to meet her. Mm-hmm. And that is just such a different way than, you know, like, is it okay if Dr. Tanner does your exam? Dr. Brown's really busy, doesn't have time for you. And so we really need to split up these exams somehow. So we're going to have Dr. Tanner come in. You know, way different.
Last ditch effort. Would you mind if they came in because nobody else is available?
Yeah. So it's just, it's all in how you present it. But yeah, that's, I think the front desk too, they can get really good at those presentation skills over the phone. Hey, you know, Kelly's not available today. She's actually out for 2 weeks. You know, her family member is, you know, having in the hospital or something. And Erica is available. I'd really rather not reschedule you 6 months down the road. Yes. Erica's going to take great care of you. And next time you're welcome to see Kelly. We'll make sure, actually, let's just get you in your summer appointment right now and get you in her schedule.
Yeah.
I think there'll be patient acceptance will be fine with that.
Yes. The front office is just so critical in that, especially if they know last minute, because last minute that's when changes happen, right? If you know about it 2 months, you can definitely prepare if you are scheduling something out on doctor's side, but these patients are scheduling 3, 4, 6 months out. And it's usually like a last minute change up. So I think that extra mile that the front does when they're confirming the appointments, if they're doing it by text, to mention that to the patient, so the patient feels like they're in control of that.
Right. Yeah. And that mitigates any front room confrontations. It also is in front of other patients too, which is not good. Yeah.
Where's Jenny?
But it's going to happen, hygienist. It's going to happen, assistants. Yep. And I just love being able to give our colleagues tools how to handle that situation, because it's going to happen. Let's try to keep it down with, you know, great preparation with confirming and conversations when scheduling. But when you are faced with that, it's really not about anything personal. It sits with the patient. It's their fears or their preferences. It's not about me. So, and just learning to accept that and knowing that I do a great job taking care of them, but it's up to you. And like you said, respect their decision.
Yeah. And I think too, the added step, I just thought of some things that we've done at previously, is if the hygienist who usually sees them is there, that they come in to say hi to that person, to say, hey, I know Erica's taking good care of you today. How's everything going? How's your son? Whatever is going on. And they feel like they're still cared for. They still feel like that they're seen, that they're heard. And then they'll say, oh, well, I do love Erica. I'm like, she's, you know, she's my hygienist or whatever it is.
Right. That's a good one. I love it. She meets my team.
Yeah. A lot of times we are.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. If we can get in, right.
Yeah. But yeah. Have that opportunity to take that extra time just to extend a hello, to tell them that you acknowledge them, you're not running from them, because that can go a long way.
Right. Right. And I'm disappointed that, you know, I didn't get to see you today. Oh, you know, I don't know. I make jokes. I mean, you may not do this. You may be less of a jokester than I, but I'll be like, oh, now we'll be fighting over you. I mean, I tease the patient, you know, like, oh, you got to see so-and-so today. Oh, you know, and make them feel special. I don't know. Make them feel like, I missed out because I wasn't the one getting to see them today. And,
I love that.
And, you know, it's just, I think that humor diffuses so much tension, and and not that perio is a laughing matter, but there's ways to use humor to just take it down a notch if things are tense. So
I
use totally. That with x-rays a lot too.
I totally agree with that. And that the whole office is on board with that. And I think this is a great topic for your meetings that you guys are having, as your team meetings, like what to do when this does happen, what that sounds like, how it's handled from front to back to front, to make sure that that trust transfer is then there. If the patient truly does have an issue with it, if they say, I really just want to go back on Erica's schedule today, I'd be like, absolutely. And then in the chart with Erica only,
right?
With Erica only, or we'll see someone else if they need to, but prefers this person, because those notes go a long way as well.
They do. And being, like I said, getting away from wanting to be the shining star. And if I were to see Erica only, it'd be like, you know, that could be kind of an ego boost, right? So it's like remembering that that's not what it's about, and that it's never a healthy situation interdepartmentally to want to be interdepartmentally. I mean, to want to be the one that everybody's requesting, everybody's, you know, thinking is the best. It doesn't mean you're the best. It means you have this connection with this person, and right. There can be competitive, cultures sometimes.
Yes.
In a hygiene department or an assistant department.
Even. Yeah. Yeah.
And just really knowing that no one's winning in that situation. And it's not, there's going to be times when you're going to need each other. A lot of times you're going to need each other, and the team is only going to be strong and, united if those types of, ideas and behaviors are just not part of your toolbox. It's not the way to go. Yeah.
Yep. So let everybody share the shine, share the shine to the team. This is a great conversation. Let us know what you think about this and some ways that you guys handle these conversations, or what you say to your patient to let them feel involved in the decision, to validate them, to also maybe take the edge off with some humor. Any last words, Erica, on this?
Really just, respect and lean on each other in your teams. Welcome new people. They're going to do things differently, but they are going to bring something special and new that you never even knew was coming. Mm-hmm. And just be open to really bringing the patients in to that with you, and really being a leader, in getting the patients to understand that you're all there on the team to take great care of them.
Yes, absolutely. All right, our friends, thank you so much for listening in. Hope you got some great tips today from Dental Insights. We are your trusted advisors in dentistry in this special series of episodes. So go on and to YouTube, like, subscribe, share, give us a thumbs up, and keep doing all the great things you're doing. And thank you for all that you do. Be well, friends. We'll see you next time. See you later, Erica. Thank you.